we're diving into one of the most popular macronutrients online. It is protein. Today we're going to talk about everything you need to know. What is protein? How much protein are you supposed to eat? And are there specific types of protein that are better than others? Well, if you're curious to find out, my name is Jo Sebastian. I'm a registered nutritionist and dietitian, and this is The Donut Box, where we unbox stories and talk about things we usually don't talk about. And today, it's protein. It's Jo.
And it's Elijah.
And this is The Donut Box. All right, so today's episode is going to be another deep fry.
Wow. Shh, I enjoy these ones a lot.
It being fried. Yeah, this is a very fun episode because I think it's so important for us to really talk about things in more depth. It's easy to kind of talk about these topics that we've usually talk about, but there are certain things that have to be unpacked and unboxed to understand also the nuances of the different conversations. Like when we talk about carbs or we talk about other nutrients, and that's why it's so important to do these in-depth ones as well, so that we have a little bit more understanding, like the bigger picture of everything that we discuss throughout the episodes.
Yeah. In my opinion, this episode's going to be my favorite because protein is my favorite, because protein is life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, everything is your favorite. And I think another thing we also really want to tap into with these deep fry episodes is the why we eat. Because we're always talking about what to eat. Like, it's always like, don't eat this, don't eat that. It can be stressful, can be anxiety-inducing. But when you understand what food offers your body, it doesn't make it too riddled with stress. You know, it's like, it's not going to analysis paralysis doesn't always happen anymore because you have a better understanding.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a lot of the times when trends happen, when people say, don't eat this, don't do that, people just say, okay, I won't because this guy or these people are telling me not to. But they never really question why I shouldn't eat it or do the due diligence of actually researching on what, why should I be eating this or why shouldn't I be eating, how much should I be eating this, right? And even in day-to-day life where I work in the gym, I have coworkers who, not the trainers per se, but like coworkers in general who, you know, follow diet plans that calculate their macros. You should be eating this much carbohydrates, this much protein, this much fat, but they never really know why they should be eating that much. They just know, oh yeah, I gotta lessen my amount of my carbs, I gotta increase the amount of my protein because protein is good, reduce my fat because fats are bad, you know. And it's just that, you know, that misconception of how macronutrients should be and how they should be eaten.
Yeah, it's a very kind of one view or black and white situation where it's just like, don't eat this, don't eat that, and you don't get to understand more about your body as well and maybe how we could shift our choices instead of just completely removing a full-on food group. So that's why we love these episodes, and that's why we are going to be talking about protein today. If you missed out on the carbohydrates episode or you want to listen to the carbohydrates episode, we did a deep fry on that one as well. That's episode 58 for those who have not listened and tuned in. We hope that you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I feel like hopefully we're teaching you some things to better your relationship with food, hopefully.
Yeah, so let's get into our protein conversation since there's a lot to unbox. Okay, let's start off with what the heck is protein in the first place. So we discussed a little bit about this in the last episode. Carbohydrates, protein, and fats, they are macronutrients. And when we say macronutrients, your body needs them in large amounts, specifically measured in your grams. Okay. But the most important thing that protein will offer us is the amino acids. So in the previous episode, carbs provides us with your sugars, monosaccharides, and so on. Protein provides us with amino acids. And amino acids are building blocks for many different functions and many different situations in the body. And we have 20 amino acids. So there's 20 amino acids overall. certain chains and combinations of these create structures. And that's why they're so important. Now there's 9 amino acids, which are very essential. And when we say essential, this is that your body cannot make it on its own. You have to get it from an outside source.
It's crazy. That's so many amino acids. That's like half, almost half, that you actually need to get from...
That are essential.
You would think that would be like, oh, they're essential, so maybe less, since my body makes the rest. Or, you know, maybe it does make more sense. I don't know. But that's a lot.
Yeah, it is quite a bit of a number. And I don't know if anybody has been to like a biology class or biochemistry class and they talk about like the PV Tim Hall, which is essentially PV Tim Hall. Your essential. What do you call that? Yeah, the essential ones, which is like
a mnemonic.
The acronym for it. Oh, yeah. Yes, mnemonic. Or, it is.
Mnemonic or acronym? Yeah, either one, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not so sure actually. But anyways, that's kind of how you remember it. Okay, so what is the main function of protein? Like aside from providing you amino acids, what do they do exactly with those amino acids? And number one function is to build and repair muscles and tissues. Okay? Your muscles, they're made up of amino acids. Tissues like your skin, collagen and keratin, they're also a combination of amino acids. Your organs, your bones, you know, those amino acids play a very, very important role in repairing and maintaining these tissues. That's why most of the time when you have like wounds or when you are sick, you do want to increase your protein intake for these situations.
I agree with that because when, like what Joe said, to add on to that, when let's say you get a cut, you get a scar, right? A lot of that is the rebuilding is from collagen, right? And you need protein to help aid in that collagen collagen repair in order for your skin to grow back, right? But to add on to what protein does, you can also think of them as your enzymes and hormones. A lot of your hormones are actually made up of proteins themselves, and if not protein, some of them are formed of peptides, which are like short chain amino acids. So basically amino acids that are combined that aren't considered full proteins, but are made up of amino acids. And so these hormones, for example, like insulin or growth hormone, these are very important things in your body that, like, for example, right, when you eat, you need insulin in order to
manage your blood sugar
levels, right? Growth hormone, well, for the most part,
for when growth. You're young,
for growth, yeah. And next, you would have your enzymes. So basically, enzymes are... how would you explain it in a simple term, are basically catalysts to speed up certain biochemical reactions that are necessary for things like digestion or energy production or even muscle contraction. And if you don't have these protein-based enzymes, a lot of your metabolic processes wouldn't occur efficiently. So without protein or with a very low amount of protein, a lot of your enzymes and hormones will suffer.
Yes, exactly. Samples of enzymes would be lactase. So lactase is something that will break down your lactose from sugar in milk. And then you also have your
amylase.
Amylase, which is the one in your mouth, and that's what it kind of breaks down the starch in your mouth, you know. And we have many different ones, and a lot of these are made up of globular proteins. Basically, there are structures with proteins, with peptides and amino acids. And for example, like Elijah mentioned, human insulin, which is like a 50 chain of amino acids essentially that creates that. So it's very, very important to consume your protein for that reason. Another very important reason is transport and storage. They help you transport essential things in the body, like oxygen, nutrients in the body. So if you've heard of your LDL and also your HDL, these are actually transporters. And they're a mix of fats and our cholesterol and protein. That's why HDL is actually called a high density
lipoprotein.
Yeah, so lipo means fat, and then you have your protein, and then that low-density lipoprotein. Their goal is to transport certain things in the body, and these are actually not bad on their own. It's just that, of course, LDL can be increased, which causes you more risk for heart disease and so on. But generally, they are transporters, which play a very important role.
And lastly, if you guys don't know, immune function has many uses for protein. For example, proteins are used in or are essential in formation of your antibodies or your immunoglobulins. So basically, your antibodies are the things that identify and like neutralize pathogens such as bacteria, viruses, or even fungi. So proteins is a very, very critical part of your immune system because it helps with antibody production. Next would be your immune cell function. So what are your immune cells? These are your white blood cells for the most part, right? So proteins form some of the building blocks of immune cells, such as your T cells or your B cells, which are responsible for identifying and fighting off pathogens as well. So if you have a deficiency in dietary protein, that can very much impair the production of B cells that aid in your immune system, which in turn will weaken your immune response in the future.
Yes, so many, many, many functions of protein. And since Elijah already mentioned like one of the biggest importance of protein being for your immune function, we can also talk a little bit about the different signs and symptoms that can tell you you are not consuming enough protein, all related to their functions, right? One of which is the frequent illnesses or slow wound healing. This is a possibility coming from lack of protein because they play very important roles in that. Another one is a change in your skin. It can be dry or flaky skin. Even certain things like rashes and dermatitis can be from the lack of protein, since protein plays an important role in skin elasticity and repair. Thank you, collagen. Mm-hmm. And then muscle weakness, slow muscle recovery, brittle nails, like we mentioned when it comes to keratin, right? Hair loss also can be a thing. Fatigue, so if you feel tired all the time, like me.
Are you eating enough protein?
I mean, I've been increasing my protein.
Well, you eat a lot of meat nowadays. You eat a lot of beef and pork and chicken.
But recently, I think also I'm lacking carbs. I think that's one of the things as well that may be causing my low energy. Mm-hmm. Although we can talk about that another time. And also sometimes even cravings for certain foods. So high protein or protein in general is actually one of the most satiating macronutrients. And what we mean by that is it takes a lot more time for this to be digested. So it makes you feel full for longer. And usually when we don't have enough protein in our diet, it can cause us to have a bit more of that hunger, basically, or that craving for certain food items. So those are some of the things to look out for, watch out for, and see if that might play a role, or maybe we can increase our protein to help with those different functions or different feelings and signs and symptoms that you might be going through.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're someone who works out a lot as well, right? Joe touched up on it a little bit in terms of muscle weakness or muscle production. If you're working out with the intent of building muscle and you're working out hard and you know you are, maybe, and you're not seeing the growth that you want, maybe look into the dietary aspect. Maybe you're not eating enough, or maybe you're not eating enough protein in general. So some things to think about as well.
Yes, you know, those are the things that we also, why we want to know the function of these food items, because it can give you more insight. So if you're like, oh, I want to build muscle, but I am not building muscle, what's wrong, or what are the possible causes? Well, one of the biggest things that help you build muscle is protein. So maybe there's a connection to that, right? And if you understand that, you can, dissect it better or assess it much better, right? A common question we get is like, how much protein should I take then, right? So it's like, okay, if I'm lacking protein, then how much protein am I supposed to take? So we have a general recommended intake, and I want to emphasize this, everybody is different. because it depends on what your goals are. It depends on where you are at in life. If you have any health conditions, for example, if you have kidney concerns, already have a kidney concern, we would lower that because your kidneys process the different, what do you call this, like end products?
Yep.
In the metabolism of
protein.
Protein.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then like excess of this can be very toxic for your kidney, which is why we want to make sure we are not eating too much protein when you already have a kidney concern. But we'll touch more on that in a bit. So it depends on your age, your sex, your weight, your body composition, activity level, and overall health status. Now, for a sedentary individual, around 0.8 to 1 gram per kilogram of body weight would usually be your general recommendation. And it will be higher from there if you are an athlete, if you are pregnant, if you're breastfeeding, recovering for illness, then we would increase from there. Anywhere between 1.2 all the way up to 2.2 grams per kilogram, depending on somebody's situation.
Yeah. Cool. What am I at? I think I'm eating roughly 0.9 grams per pound. No, 0.75.
I don't speak pounds.
Grams. Sorry. Oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah, wait.
We don't speak one, pounds
two,
here.
Right, 1 pound is 2.2 kilograms. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. We don't need to know this one. Yeah. But essentially, we're doing that for kilogram. But if you want to know, okay, what about pounds? I only know my weight in pounds. Then multiply the kilogram by 2.2.
No, divide by 2.2.
Multiply. I said kilogram to pounds. Multiply.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. 1 pound is 2.2 kilograms. Yeah, so you would, if, yeah.
1 kilogram is 2.2 pounds.
Wrong. Oh, wait. You're right. Oh, my God. I'm so stupid. You're right.
No,
you're right.
You're
oh,
not
my gosh.
Stupid. It's just confusing.
No, I was thinking
it
of.
It can be very confusing.
I was thinking of miles and kilometers.
Oh, yeah. But that's
1.6. 1 mile is 1.6 kilometers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. One kilogram is 2.2 pounds. Sorry, guys. I'm a little slow tonight.
Let's go to your sources of protein real quick. So, okay. Sure. Now I know how much protein I need to eat. Where can I get this? Right. Okay. Where am I going to get these proteins? Basically, yes, or the market, or I don't know. You know. So, protein sources can come from two main ones. You have animal-based sources and plant-based sources. So, your animal-based sources will be meat, poultry, fish, eggs, dairy, seafood. So, a lot of the times, I kind of get asked, "If like, are you allowed for seafood? And then, am I allowed for fish?" It's like they're different, but I think, but fish is technically considered seafood in a sense, right?
Yeah, fish is seafood definitely because it
yeah,
lives in
the
sea. It's but you have different types, right? Your fishes are fishes, and then your crabs and lobsters are
your
crustaceans, and then you have your oysters, which are mollusks. So all of that is seafood, but they're just different species, not species. They're different. Phylums. Nope. I have no idea what
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah. So basically, those are your animal sources. So it comes from an animal. It is a animal source of protein. And then you have your plant-based sources, which will be your legumes. So beans, lentils, or chickpeas. Also tofu and tofu products. If you've ever heard of tempeh or other soy products like TVP.
Seitan.
Extra vegetable protein. Yeah, seitan, although seitan doesn't come from tofu, it comes from gluten.
Oh.
And then you have nuts and seeds, and also your grains. So nuts and seeds and grains, while they are also carbohydrate sources or fat sources, they still provide you some protein. However, we don't usually consider them as like a main protein source. For example, quinoa is a higher protein carb source. But mm-hmm. we wouldn't consider that as like your
main
protein source.
It's more like not an adjunct. It's like a supplementary.
Well, like,
there we go.
Not necessarily supplementary, but it help you
in terms of like the composition
yeah.
of the grain. Like it's mostly carbohydrate with a little bit of protein.
Yeah, but I mean in like an overall diet, it's not necessarily supplementary either. It's just more of like an added source of protein as well, right?
Cool.
We'll talk a little bit more about like what is the difference of animal and plant-based sources of protein later because we have a few main questions around that. So
okay, so to add to that, what should I, as a consumer, should be looking out when choosing a protein source? Or like,
okay,
finding stuff in the grocery, I want to eat some sort of protein, what should I get?
Okay, so one of the things that we have to look at is different proteins also provide you different quality. And that's actually why there's so many different measurements as well for assessing protein quality. You have your amino acid profile. You're checking if all of the amino acids that you need are there. You usually have it like as a complete or an incomplete protein, depending if it's all there. They also measure your biological value of protein. So it says, if this is the amount of protein that it says, let's say it says 10 grams of protein, what is the biological value? Meaning how much, how efficiently can my body actually utilize the protein that is present or the nitrogen retained from this protein? And how well can this utilize it? For example, eggs are one of like the highest biological value foods at 100, meaning you are able to like, it provides you with all of your essential amino acids at optimal ratios and great digestibility. You also have your PDKAS, which is essentially your protein digestibility corrected amino acid score. And it evaluates the protein quality based on the amino acid profile and its digestibility. So it's usually 0 to 1, 1 being the highest. And usually whey protein, eggs, and milk will have a score of 1, indicating that all the essential nutrients or essential amino acids it has are in the proportions that are needed by your body. And then you have the protein digestibility, how well does your body break it down and absorb it? And you have your nutrient density, meaning aside from protein, what are the other nutrients that are there? Because for a high quality protein, you want to make sure that it provides you mostly with protein. And so you're kind of looking at, okay, am I choosing a lean source of protein? Or is this protein source actually mostly fat compared to protein? This wouldn't be the most high quality protein source, right? Mm. Like if you're choosing your meat and you're choosing a higher fat source of protein where in the serving, it's actually higher fat than protein, we wouldn't consider that a high quality protein source because now it's mostly a fat source. So those are some of the things that we kind of take a look at in terms of protein quality. Because what you want to know is like, okay, I am eating a lot of protein, but are they protein of quality? Now, this isn't really a major thing that you also have to like dive into. It's like, okay, what's the biological value of my food? And is it enough for me? Is it bad? Or all of these things. These would kind of be more of the technicalities in our diet that we don't have to obsess over. But they're also like kind of good to know as well.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I feel like this information is very useful. We should all know what we're consuming, right? So these are just small steps towards knowing what you consume and when should you be consuming these things to aid in whatever you need them for.
Yeah, and what they provide, right? So now we've basically talked about the many, many basics of protein. I think it's important for us to tackle some of the most commonly asked questions or the common misconceptions when it comes to protein.
And misconceptions.
Exactly. You know, I say that a lot in my, like, when I have a webinar topic that is like misconceptions.
Oh, I thought you had a list.
Misconceptions. No. yeah, but anyways, let's go into the common ones and let us unpack, debunk, and talk about it.
Sure. I think the first one that I can think of on the top of my head, because we talked about how and what type of proteins, how to choose the proteins. Now it's more like when should I be eating protein, especially in an exercise standpoint, right? When should I be eating protein? Do I do it before? Do I do it after? Do I do it during? I mean, we covered some of this stuff, but before in a previous episode, but for you, like, just go more in depth, I guess.
One of the things that we see as most ideal would be to distribute your protein intake throughout the day for the best absorption and the best utilization. Of course, you will definitely absorb all the protein that you eat, but when it comes to things like muscle building or muscle protein synthesis and overall health, distributing it throughout the day can be most beneficial. Now, it doesn't mean it has to be exactly after your workout or like 30 minutes into your workout or 3 hours after your workout. It doesn't have to be in terms of that, but it does kind of give us a little bit more of that picture of maybe spreading it out can actually enhance our absorption of it.
Mm. So does protein timing also play in like that whole anabolic window? Like that's not a thing anymore, right? Like we shouldn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did discuss that also in our the previous episode of muscle building. If anybody wants to go back to that one, we also tapped in a little bit to is there such a thing as an anabolic window? Does this play any role in your muscle building? And generally, yeah. No.
Like in muscle protein synthesis, right? There's not really a specific time where, oh, after I work out, muscle protein synthesis, anabolic window, I should eat my protein there, because if I don't and I miss that window, then it's going to be super inefficient, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Cool. So it's like taking a look at that aspect of, it's more about eating protein in general, and the timing mm-hmm. will be kind of those, again, little things that we would look into.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next question. I need a lot of protein to build muscles. True or false?
False and true. So, okay, it's kind of hard to like specifically say if it's true or false in that sense, because it depends on context, right? It depends on context, because when you say, I need a lot of protein, what if that a lot to somebody is actually not really that much? Like it, because it could be like a relative view for somebody. But I guess one of the things that we look at is, do I really need 1 gram of 1 gram of protein per pound? So not necessarily. Like we mentioned, the average individual will need 0.8 to 1.1 grams of protein as sedentary. Now, if you want to build muscle, it's 1.2 to 2.2 grams. And you can stay roughly in the range of 1.6 to 1.8 for the most optimum muscle growth. So already at that amount, you'll pretty much be maintaining your muscles or preserving it or growing it at that amount. So it doesn't have to be like you're only eating protein, but protein does play an important role. And so when we say you need massive amounts, like should I be eating 50% of my needs from protein? That's not necessary, but we do understand that protein is quite important and plays a big role.
I was actually looking at studies as well where people who are cutting, especially in a bodybuilding sense, or in general cutting a lot of weight for whatever specific reason, where just you cut your calories, right? So in order to lose weight, but in order for you to not lose a lot of muscle mass, you can go heavier on the protein. And I saw some studies saying that for the most part, it won't be like super, like the amount of muscle that you lose from that cut won't be like significantly less, but it will be minimized by eating more protein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is what one of the things that's often asked is like, if I want to cut or lose fat, because usually when you're trying to gain muscle, you want to eat in a calorie surplus. And if you want to lose fat, you want to eat in a calorie deficit. But if you want to maintain your muscle, what is the thing or what can we do about that? And usually it is to make sure you are still progressively overloading. That's one thing when it comes to working out, but also making sure you're eating enough protein. But again, this doesn't mean that you should only be eating protein. It just means that it is something we want to pay more attention to.
Okay. Okay, cool. Next question would be, it ties into the whole what should I look for when I'm choosing my protein. So, of course, we have people who prefer plant-based proteins versus people who choose or prefer animal-based proteins. And some people say, oh, plant-based proteins suck because they don't have the same type of proteins versus an animal protein. When you say that, is it like certain amino acids that you can't get from plant-based proteins that you can get from animal-based, or is there something else that we're missing?
We also have something called your complete and incomplete protein. Okay, and this is depending on how many of the essential amino acids it provides us. And most and pretty much all of your animal-based sources of protein are complete proteins, meaning they have those 9 essential amino acids that your body needs. But when it comes to plant-based sources, they're not necessarily considered complete proteins because they could be missing 1 or 2 of those essential ones. This doesn't mean that it's inferior. However, it does make us want or have to make sure that we are getting the essential amino acids that we need throughout the day. That's where protein complementation comes in, where it's like, okay, what are the amino acid profiles of these food items I'm consuming? And maybe I can pair them so that they can complement each other in that structure and can make themselves a complete source of protein.
So there if you were, sorry. If you were vegan and you can't eat those types.
What do you mean those types? Well, like we said, plant-based sources. So you complement your plant-based sources.
Of protein. Okay. Sorry.
Like grains and beans are a really great complement because they provide that stuff. And usually you're already going to do that. You're usually going to eat your grains with your beans, right? Your nuts and your grains or your veggies and your beans. So any combination of that sort could complete that. And we actually do have a few plant-based sources that are considered complete proteins. Quinoa is a rich, like, grain/protein source that has all nine essential. Soybeans and soy products are also one of the top plant-based proteins that are complete. Buckwheat, hemp seeds, chia seeds, these are the ones that are usually a complete source of protein that is from an animal source.
Okay, cool. That is actually pretty cool. I always had that misconception of, oh, if I went plant-based, I won't be able to build muscle as efficiently as if I ate both animal and plant-based. But that's cool to know. The next question, actually, I could also answer part of this, is high protein bad for kidneys? In short, it's yes and no. For the no part, typically when you're eating high protein, it shouldn't affect a healthy kidney. Healthy kidneys are able to, if it's functioning properly, it can take away the waste that protein makes when it gets broken down.
Your body got it. Like, it can do
it. Yeah, it can do it. Mm-hmm. But there have been studies that show if you're eating very, 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 very high amounts of protein, I don't know the number. I haven't researched it enough. But it has been shown that if you eat tremendous amounts of protein, even if you have healthy kidneys and you don't have chronic kidney disease, that it can actually it can progress your kidneys into that direction when you're eating so many amount, like a huge amount of protein. But in the sense that if you have chronic kidney disease where your kidneys' functions aren't the best, its filtering isn't the best, eating a lot of protein can actually lead to a buildup of protein waste in your blood, which can cause symptoms like nausea, loss of appetite, weakness, and even taste changes, just because, you know, your kidneys are a form of, it's a filtration organ is what I like to call it. It helps filter waste, it helps filter water, helps filter blood. And when your kidneys aren't functioning great, the blood that it filters, it isn't able to filter the waste products. So eating high protein can in turn progress your disease to an even worse state than what you already have.
Yes, exactly. One of the biggest things we have to recognize is your body is very, very smart and really great at its job. And protein is something that's necessary. But if there are already health conditions in place, then that's when it becomes a little bit dangerous or something that we have to look out for. And that's why most of the time when you have kidney concerns, you should consult your dietitian to know how to properly manage your protein intake throughout the day or throughout your treatments. Because usually if you're going to do dialysis, we do let you eat a little bit more protein because your body can now filter that excess. But it's still dependent on your dialysis days. It's dependent on your medications and so many things. So in short, it's not automatically going to harm your kidneys if you're going to increase your protein intake. But also, if we just stay around the range that we've been discussing, it should be pretty fine long term as well. All right. I think we pretty much like unpacked a lot when it comes to protein. So if there are any other things you guys want to clarify or learn about when it comes to protein, then just let us know at the Donut Box Pod, and we'll maybe do a deep fry part 2 protein edition. But hopefully this one covered up all the things we needed to know about protein.
Yeah, and keep on the lookout on deep fried fat edition as our last episode. Well, not last episode. No, it's not the last. Our last macronutrient episode on deep fry.
All right, so hopefully this was a very helpful episode for you on your journey to learn a little bit more about protein. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you so much, guys. See you again next week.
And that is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Please don't forget to follow us if you like this episode and if you want to learn and see and hear more. And also don't forget to follow us on Instagram at the Donut Box Pod. You can also follow me at Istro Sebastian on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, X, and Threads, or at healwithjoe.rnd on Instagram for more nutrition things. The Donut Box Podcast is an Anima podcast, and don't forget to follow them for the latest pods. Until the next episode, don't forget, you always deserve to eat.